All right. I'll pray and then we're going to get started. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for just the opportunity you have to just come together and to get into your word and just to learn more about you, God. God, I just pray over each and every one of these kids that are here today. I pray that their ears are open and their minds are attentive to what's being said. God, I just pray that we have a good week. I pray that we're all diligent to just pay attention and behave during main service. And we just ask all this in your name. Amen.
Of course, I would happen to sneeze right when we start praying.
Yeah, several times. It's on recorder, though, so everybody will know. So you'll get a lot of bless yous in passing. All righty. So during the game that we just played, we were listening to song lyrics. We picked out, we played songs. Some of them songs were from, like, the 2000s. All right, so this is, like, some of them songs are from, like, early years for you guys and or pre-your guys' time.
Time was pre-everyone's time.
Pre-everyone's time? Well, then there you go. All right, but we played the song, we played the lyrics, and every single one of you guys, every single one of you teams knew the words from the song. So can you guess, like, where we're going today?
New Times and the New Testament.
New Times and the New Testament. Okay, not even close. No. No, like, can you guess what, like, the main idea of our message is? We're going through our water series, alright? Last week I challenged you guys to read. Like, remember I said that, like, we went through planted, and our goal last year was to get us all rooted or planted in, like, having a relationship with God. And then now, we started a new year, and our goal is, like, how does something grow?
By being watered.
By getting nutrients. Sunshine is the same. You know, it has to have those things vital for it to grow. So being watered. The only way you get watered is by getting into the Word. Alright. And so we were talking about reading our Bible consistently. What do you think today we're going to be talking about? Think about the game we just played.
Oh, yeah, Jesus walking on water.
No, absolutely not. All right, that's it. We're done. I'm moving on. You all failed me.
What?
Memorizing verses.
Yes, memorizing verses.
All those songs that we played, you guys had the lyrics memorized.
We memorized the verses.
Do any of you have any verses, like, memorized? John, besides John 3:16? You just raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out on it, but you... Raise your hand if you know, if you have, there's a verse that you know it, it's memorized. All of you do? You guys do? Yeah? Yeah? Eli? Memorized verse? Anything? You don't have to tell me. It's okay. Yes, go ahead. Okay. My own. It'd be your own kid sometimes. Listen, alright, calm down. So there are a lot of people that say that they struggle with memorizing scripture. I mean, I myself will be one of those people that I've, like, it's hard for me to memorize verses, or especially when I was going through D1. Like, it was a struggle for me to memorize verses, to memorize scripture and to hide God's word in my heart. But as we all saw with this exercise that we just played, or the little activity that we did, some of these songs were pre-you guys. Some of these songs were early years you guys. But all of you guys knew the lyrics to these songs. All of you guys had memorized the next verse, even though you hadn't heard it. So obviously we're all capable of memorizing things. How many of you guys, did any of you guys do your reading? How many people actually picked their Bible up this week and read it outside of church?
My phone.
Your phone?
I'm
not going to get on you. If you're reading your phone, doesn't bug me. Yeah, I ain't mad about that. As long as you're getting into the Word. So if it's on your phone, it is what it is. Well, this week I want to look into, like, reading your Bible is great, okay? Reading it, fantastic. As long as you're reading it and you're retaining it, or you're getting information out of it, you know? You're learning something from it. It's more than just reading it. You want to be able to understand, and then also to, like, memorize. Like, if there's a key verse or a passage or something that you read and it really hits you, you want to try to memorize that or hide it in your heart. There's times where you're going to be struggling with stuff in life and you're going to be reading that day and you're going to be like, man, I feel like this passage is just really speaking to me. So this week I want to look into the power, like that memorizing scripture has, like in our lives, and how we can use like scripture that we memorize to help us like combat situations that we're going to come up with. Like when I was in middle school, so you guys probably do the same. You guys have to take tests. All of you probably have had to take a test. I had a history teacher. Every time we took a test, we would go over our study guide, and then he'd allow us to, he would give us all the answers to our study guide, or to our test that we were going to have, like the next day. We'd get all the answers, and we could write them on a note card, all right? Every single answer to the test was going to be on that note card, but we could not use the note card for the test. Alright, so the whole, however long we had until the test, my goal was to memorize all of the answers on my note card. I would write down the first part of the question maybe, or a little piece of the question, and then the answer. And then I would do that, and my goal was I would just stare at this note card, and just keep looking it over. Maybe write the question on one side, and then the answer on the other side, have people show them to you, and just like try to cram that information into my brain. Any of you guys ever do that, like when you're studying? Like you take a spelling test, like you don't even practice spelling the words, you just like look at the word and memorize like the way it looks and then just spell it. You do that?
I did that with our science teacher made us like put a bunch of different elements on like
it's a periodic table?
Yeah, flashcards.
Nice. Does that help you? Yeah?
My friend William, he sits next to me. We make our note cards in class.
Yeah.
For social studies, like she lets us use it. But math, like we made it and we couldn't use it. And like my friend used his gun and he put it on like the underside of the table.
Yeah.
And use it for the test. But for the test, we had to,
cheating, dude.
We had to separate so like we wouldn't see each other, and he got moved so we couldn't use it.
Bummer. What do you got? Were you gonna say something?
In high school, did you take an SAT?
Did I take the SAT? I took the ACT. Not the SATs.
Air conditioning test?
Yeah, the air conditioning test. I took that. Anyway, so for me, like my method, that was my method. You know, writing the question on one side, flipping it over, I had the answer on the other side, and I would just cram stuff in my brain. And like I showed us with the game that we just played, like we're all obviously capable of memorizing stuff. And the amount of stuff that we have memorized honestly probably surprises you. Any of you guys, I mean, you all, how many of you have a cell phone or a tablet or PlayStation or at locker? Do you have lockers at school with accommodations on?
Yeah.
None of you guys? None of you?
We do, but we don't use them.
You don't use them?
No, we do in PE.
But so your phone, you got a passcode to open it, right? You got like a, I don't know, school, if you guys, you know, most of you have Chromebooks, like you have a login.
Yeah.
Password you have to remember. Lunch, you probably all have cards, but like, do you guys have lunch numbers? Do you have to memorize your lunch number? I know when the girls were in school, it was like a 12-digit number, and they had to memorize it at like 5 years old. And when they would go up,
We should have a student
ID. You do now, but I'm saying like, at 5 years old, the girls were able to memorize their number and then tell it to the lunch lady, you know, until she knew who they were and go through that. The point being is we memorize scripture or stuff like that, passcodes, login information, combinations for our locks, lunchroom numbers. We memorize stuff all the time, honestly, without even knowing we're doing it. How many of you guys can like quote movie lines? Like just random movie lines. Like you remember parts of movies and you just like you can quote them and spot them off. Why do you think that is? Like when you were watching the movie, you weren't like intent on memorizing that, were you? Like it just stuck with you. When you listen to...
Oh, sorry, I just quoted a random movie line.
Oh yeah? Just keep swimming.
Music is the... No, this is from Dune, and this is a conversation.
First movie nine, and Minecraft. That's Minecraft.
Music is the easiest thing to memorize.
Huh?
Music's the easiest...
So why do you think that is? Why do you guys think that we are able to memorize that stuff?
Because...
Repetition? Maybe because we see it so many times, or songs, we hear them over and over and over again. Maybe we are enjoyful of it. There could be a lot of reasons why we memorize things that we remember. Just Keep Swimming, Dory, the Frozen song, everybody at one point in time could sing Let It Go, Let It Go. Like that song was just like everywhere. we can memorize stuff all the time. We're capable of memorizing things that we don't even expect to be able to memorize. God is also capable of using the same brains that we use to memorize that to memorize scripture. Right? Like, why is it important for us to do that? Like, why? What is the point of memorizing scripture? Psalms 119:11. Turn there for me. My challenge for this week is for all of you guys to memorize Psalms 119. When you come in next week, I want the whole chapter. I want you guys to be able to say it to me.
Do you guys need to write it down somewhere?
Yeah, I'm kidding. I don't need you to memorize the whole chapter. I would like you guys all to memorize this verse.
Where are we at?
Psalms 119, 11. Raise your hand when you get there. Why are you all? You do. That's this is an important verse. Most of you should have it. Oliver, read it off. Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. I ask, why is it important for us to memorize scripture? Well, for us, one of the biggest battles that we're going to face in life is sin. One of the biggest things, the biggest struggles that we're going to have is sin. The devil, the adversary, trying to get us to fall into sin, to get us to pull away from the church, to be able to get us to do something that we know in our hearts that we should not be doing. And this verse says all that we need to know about that lesson, or all about that. Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I might not sin against thee. You hiding God's word in our heart? My heart, sorry. Hiding God's word in our heart is like our number one weapon to combat sin. What? I know, I was being sarcastic with Psalms 119 the entire chapter. I don't expect you guys to do that. That'd be a steep ask. I just want you to memorize that verse. 119:11. One verse, one easy verse. You have this entire month to do it. Well, I'll get to that later. We have this entire month to do it. So like I said, our biggest struggle that we're going to face in life is sin. This verse says all we need to know about that. But I also want to look at, God also gives us an example. Like I said, we're reading through the Gospels, so turn with me back to Matthew. We're going to be Matthew chapter 4. And we're literally going to look at an example. One of the most like prominent figures in the Bible.
Matthew what?
And him using this tool.
4:1.
Huh?
Matthew
4:1.
Matthew 4:1.
We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Okay?
I was there first.
Ethan already did have his hand up. Okay, Matthew 4, 1 through 10. Are you going to read all 10? You can read 1 through 5 and then add a little bit 5 through 10. Or 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
6, 7?
So you read 1 through 5, all right? Let's go.
Then was Jesus led up the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But when he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple.
And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him in the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him,
get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Okay, so what we see happening and taking place here, to me, like a battle. I think of it like a Marvel movie, you know, or like Batman and Superman fighting, you know. That's like how this verse plays out in my head. That's like the vision I get. That has nothing really to do with much, but what's happening here is Satan is tempting Jesus. He's trying to get him to do something. It says that Jesus... Then was Jesus led up into the wilderness, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He's hungry, starving. 40 days, 40 nights, fasting, not eating food, exhausting, tiring. We've all been hangry, but could you imagine after 40 days how hangry you'd be? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. Devil's like, hey, you know, you're hungry, you're starving. You're the Son of God. You can just turn these stones into bread. You'll be good. You'll be filled up. You can eat. You'll be nourished. But Jesus is like, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Flip back to Deuteronomy 8, verse 13. Actually, I'm going to turn there and I'll read it for you, because for the sake of time. You can go there if you want. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. That's where we're going to be. Towards the beginning of your Bible. If you're worried, or if you're flipping there. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might be thee known, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And then here Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is using scripture that he knows. Satan's trying to tempt him. He's trying to get him to eat. Turn these stones into bread, you know, you'll be fulfilled. You'll be able to eat. You won't be hangry anymore. And Jesus is like, no, like, I know better than that. I'm not going to do that. God will give me the nutrients that I need. God provides all that we need. So he uses scripture to combat Satan, you know. Obviously, he's tired. He's worn out. He's probably exhausted. And it would probably be, like, this isn't a big ask. He's always telling him, he's like, just turn these stones into bread. Like, it doesn't seem like something that's otherworldly, but that, sin in our life, sometimes it's gonna be like that. It's not gonna be something that's like, this isn't God awful, you know, I'm just taking a couple dollars from this dude, my dad's wallet, you know, or I'm just getting on the internet when I know I'm not supposed to be, or I'm just, you know, my parents told me to clean the house and I'm just gonna play like, you know, 30 minutes of PS5. I gotta get one more quest done on, GTA so that I can, you know, level up. Just 30 minutes and then I'll clean. But the devil will use stuff like that to get us to do things that we know we shouldn't be doing. We know we should not be doing those things. And Jesus uses scripture that he knows to say, you know, man does not live by bread alone. Every word that proceedeth out of the word that the Lord's, doth man live. Jesus doesn't give in to temptation. He knew and trusted God to provide for him. What happens next? The devil, the adversary, he knows, you know, he's like, all right, he's not going to fall for that trick. So he hits him with something harder. The devil taketh him up, into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, as for it is written, you know, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Satan took him up to the high place on the temple. He's like, listen, just jump off. It says, you know, in scripture it says that he shall give the angels charge concerning me. Like, just jump off of this temple. You're going to fall, but God's got you. He's going to be all right. Like it says in the Bible. Psalms 90. Yeah, 91, 11 through 12. I'm going to turn there. You do not have to. Can if you want to. Psalms 91. All right. Psalm 91. Yeah, 11 and 12. It says, okay. It says, I got it. I'm trying to hurry up through this. He says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. These are the words that come out of the devil's mouth. This is words that the Bible uses, you know. And Satan's using these words, these same words from the Bible, to tempt Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, like that, that's not what we're supposed to do. And he says, Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Back to Deuteronomy real quick. Jesus is quoting scripture from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 is where I'm going to be, in verse 16.
Okay.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 6:16.
Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah.
Yeah, he says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Satan's trying to get him to do something. He's like, hey man, just jump off the cliff, or jump off this building.
Lincoln.
Like, God's got you, he'll take care of you, nothing's going to happen to you, you'll be alright. And Jesus knows better than that. Like he's using scripture to try to trick Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, like the Bible tells you specifically, like, I'm not here to do a stunt. I'm not doing a trick. You can't just go and jump off a building and expect God to get you and like you be fine. You know, God cares about you and he wants to protect you. But it also says in the Bible, do not tempt God. If you're going to play with fate, you'll probably face the consequences of that. So it's important that when you're reading your Bible and you're finding scripture, or you're hiding like a memory verse in your heart, that you gotta understand the context in which that verse is coming from. You can't just pluck a verse and try to plug it into a situation that you're dealing with. You can't be struggling with something and then just spout out a verse that sounds like it fits that moment in your life, and unless you understand the context in which that verse is coming from. And that's what that's the importance of what's happening right here. Jesus knew the context in which the verse Satan was using, which is scripture. He's trying to fight him with scripture against scripture. It'll happen to you in your life where you have a situation coming up and you're praying like, hey God, can you help me with this? I need this to happen or whatever. And you'll be reading the Bible and you'll feel like the Bible is telling you like, hey, do this. Like, go out. Yeah, you need a Corvette. You don't need a Honda. You don't need a budget-friendly car. Like, you know, you only got $1,200 in your account. Go buy you a Corvette. You know, you'll feel like the Bible is telling you to do something because you're taking what you're reading out of context, and you'll make a decision hastily, knowing that it's really not the right decision that you need to be making. So it's important that when we're reading our Bible, that we understand the context in which our Bible is coming up. Because no verse that we read in context will ever go against like the most important principles that the Bible has for us. Like no word that we're reading in this, as long as we're reading it in context, is going to go against the principles that the Bible is already instilling upon us. Jesus was able to resist Satan's push, his push for him to do something, because he understood what Satan was doing. What he understood the scripture that Satan was using didn't fit what he was actually supposed to be doing. These situations are the same situations you guys are going to be faced with. The devil uses the same tactics on us that he's using on Jesus in this situation. Like, he knows our desires. He knows, what buttons to push. Like, when you're hungry, he knows how to get under your skin. He knows how to, pry his way in and make you feel or do something that you don't want to do. He's going to use that. So it's important that you understand, one, how you're feeling, and two, like, how to combat that situation. So he knows, the devil knows he fails, again, because Jesus hits him with another verse that he memorized, and then in verse 8 it says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them. Thanos is standing up there with Iron Man, he's like, here dude, all you gotta do is snap your fingers, and all this is yours. You know, like, that's the scene I think of. But Satan's up here, and he's tempting Jesus. He's like, look at all of this. In verse 9 he says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou will just fall down and worship me. He's tempting him with all of the worldly, can you guys stop, things. All of this. He's like, all you gotta do is worship me, and everything that you see, it's yours. You're the ruler of it all. Everything that you got is yours. And then here's Jesus' rebuttal to that. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. He knows what he's trying to do. He's like, get out of here, dude. I know what you're doing. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, Jesus is privy to what he's got going on. I'm going to flip back to Deuteronomy real quick. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. It says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Jesus, again, is using scripture to fight his battle with Satan here. So Jesus is using all this scripture. All right, he's fighting Satan. Yeah, for you guys, your thoughts are probably like, yeah, he's Jesus. He knows everything, you know? He knows everything there is to know about the Bible. He already knows what's going to happen before it even happens, like, because he's God. Philippians. Turn with me to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And I'll read them real quick and then we'll get after it. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and look upon him in the form of a servant and what was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even as death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus came to earth, when he came here to be a man and made himself in the likeness of a man, all of the memories, all the thoughts, everything that he had, he didn't memorize the entire Bible. Everything was not, like, known to him. He was not omniscient. He was not omniscient at this point. He didn't know everything. He was like a man. So everything that he knew about scripture, he had to learn himself. And how did he do that in those times? By memorizing it. They didn't have Bibles. Everybody didn't have a Bible sitting on their nightstand. Children in those times had to memorize scripture by their memory. My goal of today's message, I guess, is to get you guys confident in the fact that you guys can memorize scripture, to show you, like, by the game that we played and stuff, like, you guys are capable of doing this. All of you guys, every single one of you are capable of hiding verses in your heart for any battle that you're gonna deal with, any struggle that you're gonna use. There's Bible apps that can help you with that, and all kinds of, just tools and things that you guys can use. So last week I challenged you guys to commit to reading. This week is another challenge. Psalms 119:11. By the end of February, if you have it memorized, I'll get y'all a king-size candy bar. But easy enough verse. This is just a start, though. Baby steps. You have to work your way into it. I'm going to pray, and then we will get out of here because it's almost time for church to start.